fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
St. Bibiana, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, one of the great Advent graces, and therefore a good resolution for us to make, is that we should be keeping watch, we should be looking, we should be on our guard. Of course, we should be that way always. And the Gospel of the Five Foolish and the Five Wise Virgins, which is read really throughout the year, and read especially for St. Gertrude's Feast in Octave, is a good reminder of that. You never know when our Lord will come. Sometimes our Lord comes by means of a big cross, which would be a trial. But if you're ready, if you always are praying and at least doing some penance and talking to our dear Lord and His Blessed Mother every day, even if you're surprised for a second, for example, by a temptation, and you think to yourself, as we will sometimes, what an excellent idea that is. I think I'll just go ahead and... But then you think to yourself, I've almost committed a sin. I didn't want to do that at all. But you cut it off, and you don't commit the sin because you know it's from the devil. But our Lord permits us to be tempted for many good reasons, to strengthen us, to make sure that we will be worthy of Him, to do penance for our sins, to keep us humble, to make us always be praying, and to make us always be watchful. So it is very important to imitate the saints. As a matter of fact, today we have a wonderful saint from a family of saints, mom and dad and two girls, who are all very watchful because our Lord came, that is to say, by a cross or suffering, when they least expect it. So what happened was that when peace came after 3 centuries of persecution for the church, then all of a sudden there was an emperor, Julian the Apostate. Remember, he's the one that was a very bad student. He did not pay attention and he laughed and made faces in class and things like that. And he went to school with St. Gregory and at the end and St. Basil, and they knew he would come to no good end. Well, sure enough, he apostatized. Here he was, a consecrated king, emperor, and he turned pagan again, and he tried to turn the empire pagan. Well, at that time, in charge of the city of Rome was a certain Saint Flavian, who was a good Catholic and had raised his two daughters, Demetria and Bibiana. Bibiana in English is Vivian, so if you know any Vivians, today would be their feast day. And he raised them, he and his wife, whose name was Saint Daphrosa, to be good Catholic girls. Well, the persecution came, and they were told, look, the emperor wants people to go back to worshiping the pagan gods again, and you have to give a good example now, so no more mass for you. And St. Flavian said, absolutely not. So there was a certain other official who had his eye on Flavian's house and properties. He was a Pronianus, and he got into the mix, and pretty soon St. Vivian's father was branded in the face, that must have been very painful, with a hot iron, as a slave, and sent off to Aquapendente outside of Rome, and soon he died. And then it was just the mother, St. Daphrosa, and the two girls, Demetria and Bibiana, or Vivian. And they cut them off from all goods. No one was allowed to make any deliveries of any food or anything. And then, as if that weren't bad enough, then St. Daphrosa was taken away, the mother was, and she was beheaded. And the two girls were rattling around all by themselves in this big old house in Rome with no food coming in and being watched by guards and all of the rest. But they prayed, and our Lord took care of them. He provided for their needs miraculously. They didn't lose too much weight, and they weren't too terribly hungry. Everything was sort of working out all right. When, again, unexpectedly, they were sent for to come to see the judge. And the judge, when he had the two girls in his presence, was very surprised because the first thing that happened was St. Vivian's sister died right then and there. Our Lord, for his own reasons, did not want St. Demetria to have to face all of this. But where did that leave poor Bibiana? She didn't have her mother or her father or her sister. She was all by herself before the wicked judge. And the wicked judge, as wicked judges will generally, tried to sort of induce her to be very kind and sweet and say, now look, it's only a little grain of incense and everybody's doing it these days. It's really very much in fashion and why don't you just do it too? And she said, no, I won't. Well, although she was very scared and very sad, but she was strong. She had confirmation children. She was a soldier of Christ. So the next thing they did was to put her in the hands of a wicked woman named Rufina, who was a specialist at corrupting young people. And she did all sorts of things with her to pretend to be very kind and loving and to have lots of fun together, that sort of thing. But all she wanted to do was to get St. Bibiana to commit mortal sins, because then, of course, you're with the devil, and then she could worship the demons, the false gods, and everything would be well. She absolutely refused to. And so finally, after several months of that not working, she herself was scourged, as our Lord was at the pillar, second sorrowful mystery. She was scourged unto death, and then she died, and her soul went to heaven, and she was happy for all of eternity. You know, children, St. Francis of Assisi, whom the world makes out to be the birdbath saint, but he's really a lot deeper than that. St. Francis of Assisi used to say, when I consider the reward that God has prepared for us, everything that we suffer on this earth is as nothing at all. And that's that thought, prayer or meditation, that inspired the martyrs and the saints down throughout the centuries. Well, there's another final little ending part of the story. The pagans, to be especially horrible, would throw the bodies of the Christians into kind of like a sewer and have wild dogs come in and eat them up and do wild animals. It was very, very, very horrible. And they did that to inspire revulsion on the part of the Christians as a further kind of a punishment. Well, there was a certain priest who was very brave, and his name was Father John, and he came at night, and he took the body of St. Bibiana and he buried it. And so we still have a relic today, and the relics were found during the early Renaissance when the church was being rebuilt, and she was respectfully buried. Well, this Father John happened to be a good friend of a teacher who had been one of the tutors or private teachers of the Emperor Julian the Apostate. When all of this apostasy started, this teacher, whose name was Pimenius decided to flee to Persia, which is modern-day Iran. And it was safer there in Persia with the pagans than it was with the apostate Julian in Rome. Well, he came back eventually because he heard that the persecution wasn't so bad. And who do you think he ran into in the street? He ran into his old student, Julian the Apostate. And Julian, recognizing his old teacher, smiled and he said, oh, I give thanks to my gods and goddesses of Rome that I see my old teacher again. And Pimenius, who didn't even miss a beat, said, glory be to my Lord Jesus Christ, the Nazarene who was crucified, because I do not see you. In other words, he just looked right past him. He wouldn't even greet him. And Julian the Apostate was so angry, he ordered him immediately be thrown off a bridge into the Tiber River. And thus he died as a martyr. Lots of martyrs in today's story, children, but lots of watchfulness too, because you never know when our Lord will come. That's an Advent grace. Shall we be serious about our Advent this year? We sing our extra prayers, our hail and blessings, our little sacrifices, and all of the rest, so that whenever our Lord comes, whatever he may ask of us, we, like today's Saint Vivian, we will be ready. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.